Welcome back to the podcast, you beautiful soul. Thank you for joining me. We're going through social anxiety and public speaking. Now, this has been a very, 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 very big pain point for myself. I remember in school, you know when you, I'm not sure if your school did this, but you'd be reading like a book or reading something in the class, and you go around the class and each like student reads like a paragraph or reads a sentence of the book. I hated that. I like freaked out, stressed out, got super anxious. I would literally count out how many students are before me. Then I'd find the part I'm going to read and practice reading it so I can get the words right and pronunciate it right and get it right to make sure I could actually say the words that I was meant to read. So that was me. I really struggled in social settings. I have quote social anxiety. I don't use those terms, but that was what I was quote diagnosed with Asperger's, ADHD, autism. And I really struggled with making friends, connecting with people. I felt very isolated. I felt very disconnected. I felt very anxious a lot with social settings. And I still get a little bit of it today. I still experience a little bit of it today. Literally not too long ago, maybe 6 months ago, I got invited to it. We had like an after party for the gym that I've got. And we had a little, we did a 6 week challenge. I got invited to the after party. But because I'm not involved in the business anymore and I don't have the connection and friend, the relationship with all the members there, literally driving up to the after party, I felt really uneasy, felt a bit anxious, felt a bit overwhelmed. So I still feel it. It's still something that I'm working through, I'm healing through, I'm processing through. And I've been able to go from like the debilitating level of anxiety and stress and overwhelm of doing public speaks in school and reading a book in front of the class, to speaking on stages, to running podcasts, to interviewing some incredible guests on my podcast. So I feel like I've got some value to add in here. So just want to share that with you. If you guys don't know who I am, my name is Lewis Huckstep. I'm a mindset and business coach where I help people reach their full potential by unlocking the mental constraints and limitations that hold us back, while also giving you clarity on your authentic self, your purpose, your mission, your vision, and helping you actually create a plan to help you get there. With that being said, if you haven't already, guys, one favor for this podcast: comment down below, like the video, and subscribe. It helps me tremendously. The bigger the channel gets, the bigger the guests get. So if you can do that for me, that would be incredible. And without further ado, let's get into it. So, excuse me, I still have a little bit of a cough, so just please put up with that as we go through this podcast. First and foremost, your authentic self is the absence of the limitations and the restraints that we develop and download throughout our upbringing. There's an awesome podcast online. It's on YouTube. It's the most, I think it's one of the most viewed podcasts in TED Talk, sorry, in history. So I'm just actually going to get the name of it, of who it's Ken Robinson. So Robinson, I should say. So it's Do Schools Kill Creativity? It's a really awesome TED Talk. Go listen to it. I've watched it a couple of times. And he has this beautiful quote in here, which relates to what I'm about to tell you, is all kids or students are born geniuses, but they get educated out of it. Now, I want to say that again. Every student, every child is born a genius, but they're educated out of it. Now, I have a very similar quote, which aligns to what we're going to be talking about today, is that every single human being is born limitless, but we are programmed out of it. I'll say that again. Everyone is born limitless, but we are programmed out of it. I have never met a baby or a child that was born feeling and thinking that they're not enough, that they're not worthy, that they're not loved, that they're not whatever. Now, if they go through a very traumatic upbringing with their parents and whatever, then maybe some of their first words that they say might mirror that, but that's not who they authentically are. That's the ego, and that's the limitations that they've downloaded from their parents, their environment, their upbringing, society, TV, whatever conditioning they've gone through. And that's the belief and the constraints that they've downloaded. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is your authentic self does not have anxiety. Your authentic self doesn't give a shit about other people's opinions. Your authentic self isn't worrying about stress, overwhelm, how much money's in your bank account, how good you're going to look, and comparing yourself to others. It's the constraints and limitations that we develop and program into us in our upbringing. Again, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I have to look a certain way. I have to have a certain body. I have to be a certain level of attractiveness to be enough. I have to have a certain amount of money in my bank account to drive a certain car, to look a certain way, to dress a certain way, to have a certain house, to be worthy. And all of these constraints are all bullshit. They're all mirages. They're all these linguistic limitations that we download off others, which are not true. I've never met a baby that thinks they're not good enough. I've never met a baby that thinks they're not worthy. It's just the ego and the restraints we download which make us believe that. This is where limiting beliefs and that whole topic comes into it. So the reason I'm sharing that, excuse me, your authentic self doesn't have the fear. It's the ego self that you've developed which has the fear, which shows up as anxiety and fear when it comes to social settings or public speaking. So I just want to share that with you. So my invitation to you is make sure you're always doing the inner work, healing, rewiring, healing from trauma, rewiring those limiting beliefs, dissolving those limitations, and allowing your true, authentic, infinite, divine self to shine through. So that's the first point I wanted to talk about on this podcast. I hope that all made sense. And I've done podcasts on, rewiring limiting beliefs, what the ego is. So go consume those ones if you haven't already. I forget the podcast numbers. I think it's like 130 or 140, give or take, around that area. So go consume those. Now, the second point that I want to talk about is anxiety itself. So the way I view anxiety is a very normal and natural part of being a human being. It's our sympathetic nervous system. It's fight or flight. Now, I've done full podcasts on that, so I'm not going to go super, super deep on this because that would take like an hour to talk just about that. But anxiety comes from a feeling of being scared. So again, you walk out of your cave as a caveman or woman and you see a fucking tiger, you feel anxious and scared, fight or flight kicks in, your sympathetic nervous system kicks in, your amygdala kicks in, and you look for a way to survive. That's very, very natural and very evolutionary of human beings. It's a part of our DNA. It's a part of our nervous system to actually operate that way. However, there's no saber-toothed tigers walking around. Well, not in my country anyways. And the legitimate fear of death, of danger, doesn't really exist that much. Yes, it does. Like if you're driving a car, someone's going to hit you. If literally someone walks up to you with a knife or a gun, of course you're going to kick into anxiety, fight or flight. That's natural and normal, and you want that to happen. But we have trauma, we have pain, we have past hurt. And if you haven't healed through that, then it triggers you. And I talk about triggers, traumatic reactions, and traumas. If you've got a past trauma of public speaking or someone humiliating you, or you feeling embarrassed, or you feeling not good enough, or you feeling inadequate, or you feeling insecure, and then you have the opportunity to go into a social setting or to do some public speaking, and you haven't healed through that past hurt, it's going to trigger the same feeling. There's a beautiful quote by Peter Crone: past hurt informs future fear. So if you've gone through past hurt of being inadequate, not enough, not beautiful enough, not smart enough, not you don't fit in, you're not welcome, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're whatever. If you've had that hurt that hasn't been healed yet, it's like an open wound. You touch it, it's going to trigger you. So say you've been through that past pain, humiliation, embarrassment, then you have the opportunity to do some public speaking or you go to a social setting environment, you're probably going to get triggered. You're probably going to have that same feeling come back in because your mind doesn't know the difference between anything it perceives in reality versus anything that you think and perceive inside of your own head. That's why, again, going back to the first point again, rewiring and doing the inner work is so important when it comes to this. So again, my invitation, keep healing. If you've got embarrassment, pain, hurt, trauma, whatever your version is, and we all do, make sure you continue to heal that because it's very hard to just sort of move past that. You can, and I guess, fake it till you make it and put on a strong face and just grit your way through there. But if there's no past hurt, then you don't need to put up the protection mechanism of anxiety and fear and overthink things and try to control everything. So again, go back, do the inner work. Now, last point, and I actually had this conversation with a client of mine, and she's an absolute rock star. I'm going to call her Sarah, but Sarah, she's an incredible woman, inspires me every time I do a coaching session with her, and she's quite high up in the medical world, and she helps the medical system, innovate the system, and improve the system, and she actually does public speaking in front of like groups and audiences, and those audiences include doctors, biologists, really, really smart, educated people. And she told me she was getting social anxiety. She was getting overwhelmed and she was getting, I guess, a stage fright from presenting to these people. Now, what's happening in that instant is you are pedestaling the people that you're talking to. Now, I talk about pedestaling and pitting a lot when it comes to my work. So if you've got the opportunity to watch the video of this podcast, have a look at the video because I'm sharing my screen right now. This is literally part of the work that I teach my clients. So I'm not going to go through a lot of it because obviously this is my paid work, but I'm going to give you a free little glimpse and a free sample of it today. So if you're not watching the video, go to YouTube or I think Spotify has the video as well. You can go watch the video. I don't think Apple Podcast does the video, but anyways, so what happens when you pedestal someone or you pit someone, which I'll show you. So say this is you down the bottom. So say you are beating yourself up. So what you do is when you look at someone and you pedestal them, you pedestal a trait about them or something about who they are as a person. So in this example, I think I wrote down beautiful. So say you see someone and you pedestal their beauty and how beautiful they are. What happens is when you pedestal them, simultaneously, instantaneously, you actually minimize the same trait that's within you. So say you look up to someone and you think, oh my God, they're so beautiful, they're so elegant, they're so incredible, they're the most beautiful person on the planet. At the same time, you minimize and you put yourself in the pit and you disown your own beauty and you feel ugly. Now, there is a difference between admiring, like it, being loving and appreciating someone's beauty versus pedestaling them, okay? I can appreciate someone, someone who's beautiful and amazing, but I don't have to be like, oh my God, they're so much more beautiful than me. I'm so ugly in comparison. You can appreciate people and appreciate their strengths and their gifts and their achievements, but there's a difference between pedestaling them and appreciating them, okay? So this is what happens is you put someone on a pedestal and you put yourself in the pit. So And just so you know, you can do the opposite, and a lot of people do the opposite. When you put someone down, you put yourself on a pedestal. You get on your high horse. You get high on your own supply. You think someone's so stupid. I think I use that. Yep. So you think someone's really stupid, and they're dumb, and they're an idiot, and then you pedestal yourself, and you're so smart, and you're so enlightened, and you're so incredible, and you're disowning that trait, or sorry, you're owning the trait in yourself, and you're disowning it within them. You're maximizing it in yourself, and you're minimizing it within them. When in reality, everyone has all traits. Everyone's beautiful. Everyone's smart. Everyone's stupid. Everyone has all traits. So the pedestaling and the pitting is a lopsided perception. And I talk about that a lot with the work that I do as well. So that is exactly what this client, Sarah, was doing. So I'll get back to the story. So I've stopped sharing my screen now for the people that aren't watching the video. So what she was doing, so she doesn't quote, and this was a limitation that we were working on, is she didn't quote have the education that these people in the crowd that she was talking to. She pedestaled the intelligence of the people that she was talking to. Oh, I'm not as qualified. I don't have the education. I don't have the certificate. I don't have whatever. And because these doctors and very well-educated people were in the crowd, she pedestaled them, their intelligence, and she minimized her own intelligence. So a question I asked Sarah, I said, Sarah, what if you were to walk out on stage and talk to these people and you look out into the crowd and every single one of them are 4 years old? You're talking to a crowd of four-year-olds. Would you feel anxious? Would you feel scared? Would you feel overwhelmed? She said, no, it'd be easy, be a piece of piss. I said, great. Why is that? And I obviously taught her the lesson is because she's not pedestaling a four-year-old for their intelligence. A four-year-old doesn't know that much, right? They probably do. They're very divine beings, of course. But the only difference was she was pedestaling the doctors and the crowd she was talking to and therefore minimizing her own. So I got her to own the traits of intelligence. I said, great, Sarah, where in your life are you absolutely qualified and overqualified to be doing what you do? And she's got a military background, business background. She does like a lot of trauma work with in the medical world. So like, you know, really horrific traumatic injuries, like a dissected arm, a compound fractured. Someone's literally cut their guts open, and she has to manage that and handle those situations. And I'm like, holy shit, Sarah! Like, how many people have your level of experience from the armed forces to the traumatic events that you handle to the people that you've impacted to the unique skill set that you have? How many people have your unique upbringing, skill set, and qualifications to make you be able to do what you're able to do? She's like, probably no one. I say, great. So you're more qualified than everyone that you're talking to in the crowd, aren't you? And the light bulb started to click. She's like, holy shit. Yes, these people I'm talking to have, quote, traditional qualifications, which play their part, but that doesn't make them any more intelligent than who Sarah is. She's more intelligent in her areas. And once she took them off the pedestal, took her out of the pit, she was more confident, more authentic, because she didn't have that lopsided perception. And that, for me, is how you solve social anxiety and public speaking. So I'll summarize these because I do speak pretty quickly. So first and foremost, your authentic self is the absence of these limitations. I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. I'm stupid. I'm not whatever. So learn to dissolve those. Find a coach, maybe me or someone else, or find your healing ways to work through those limitations. Second, anxiety comes from past pain, or anxiety itself is the experience of fear and being scared and danger. Heal through that past hurt so you don't recreate that future, okay? Past pain informs future hurt, okay? So you want to heal through that past hurt, trauma, limitations, embarrassment, whatever you are. Heal through that so you stop projecting and copying and pasting that past into the future. And then the last step is pedestaling. Stop pedestaling people. Like, literally, excuse me, use that example. If you were to talk to a crowd of four-year-olds, how would you feel? You feel pretty good. Why? Because you're not pedestaling them. They're not quote better than you. And no one is. Everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. Everyone has their achievements and their knowledge and their expertise. But no one's better than anyone. I'm not better than anyone. No one's better than me. We have different strengths, different weaknesses, but no one's above anyone or below everyone. We are all balanced individuals and we are all whole and complete divine beings. And that's my podcast for today. I hope you got value from it. If you did, comment down below. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know your biggest takeaway. Like the video. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed. And if you're looking for a coach, if you're looking to work on you, grow, invest, heal, elevate, grow in your personal life and your professional life, and you like my vibe, you like my energy, you like what I'm about, then book in for a strategy call down below. There's a link in the caption below. Only book in if you're actually willing and ready to do the work, because you can drag a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I can give you the water. I can whack your head into the water, but I can't make you drink the water. Hope you got value from this today. I really appreciate you being here. Share this with a friend as well. I appreciate you consuming this podcast. I appreciate you, and I'll see you very soon. Bye.